Let's start this morning in Proverbs chapter 19. It's where we're going to be all morning. I do have a verse for you if you'll turn to 1 Peter 1 as well. Proverbs 19 and 1 Peter chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 19, just one verse here. Notice verse 12. Proverbs 19, 12. The king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion, but his favor is as dew upon the grass. Now, in case you have concern about what the grass might be, look over in 1 Peter 1:24. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Lord, we come to you this morning here, Lord, and all this is the honor of your Son, who, as we said in Sunday school, has done so much. In fact, really beyond our comprehension. And so we come to you as your people and knowing that we're limited in our understanding and, for that matter, our appreciation, Lord. But I pray you'd make these things real. We are glad to be the people of God and to have that relationship that we talked about this morning as sheep to the shepherd and as soldiers to the captain, as a son to his father, and all those things that we discussed. We're glad for it, Father. We pray that you'll make real what's to be said this morning, Father. Help us to not get our eyes upon all of the concerns and cares and trials and troubles in this life. Father, may we be able to see the King's favor here clearly. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. I want to come to you this morning with something that's helped me through the years. Most of you know that I turned 54 years old this last week, and as such, that means that I've been saved 44 years. It doesn't mean I've seen everything or anything like that, but it means that there have been a few dark days along the way and a couple mornings I didn't want to get out of bed and all that. And, you know, what the Lord showed me out of these passages some years back has helped me through the years, and so hopefully it'll help you as well. Proverbs 19:12 is really our text. It says, "The king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion, but his favor is as dew upon the grass." Well, most of us don't have any problem with being able to discern who the king is there. We serve a king. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. Plainly, the Lord God Almighty and the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the king. There can be no doubt about that. We already have gone to 1 Peter chapter 1. To make sure everybody knew what the grass was. And so the wrath of the Lord and the favor of the king both fall upon the grass, which we know is the flesh of man. So that's me and you. And what is a set at adversity one to another in verse 12? Two things: the king's wrath and the king's favor. And when you stop and consider that, there's a time, it's very real now. The Bible says, for instance, that he that believeth on him hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but what? The wrath of God abideth. That wrath of God is real even today for folks that are not even in hell yet. And so I just want to say that there's coming a day in the future, while these things are real here today, and we're talking this morning about favor more than wrath, but I wanted you to see that there's coming a day in the future where all any man will know is either wrath or favor. In eternity, all any man knows is either the wrath of the king or the favor of the king. And so this is very serious business along that line. But as I said, you know who the king is. And we know what the wrath of God is. That wrath is as the roaring of the lion, it says in verse 12. Well, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that sometimes when the wrath of God falls, it is a roar. Boy, I tell you, this world has known the roar of war through the years. Some folks have said that war is God's judgment on sin here. And I believe that's true to some degree. But when you hear at times of natural disasters that fall in some places, you have to basically acknowledge that the Lord is still in control of the elements and the currents and the earthquakes and the volcanoes and all that. And many times what does fall naturally is the wrath of the king. Sometimes it falls with a great roaring. So it's true that the wrath of the king is as a roaring of a lion. But we're talking this morning about favor. I wanted to take some time here. Like I said, this has helped me through various low points and so on and so forth. It also helps me get up in the morning on a good day. But favor. It says the king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion, but his favor is as dew upon the grass. Now, you may not be impressed by that. You may not be impressed that his favor would be like the dew. Dew is not something that we particularly glamorize. I hope that you're able to glamorize, to some degree, the favor of God. Salvation, health, children, grandchildren, more food to eat than you can manage to eat in a day, more clothes than you can wear in a week. You may run out of underwear or socks or something, but chances are you have more clothes than you can possibly wear in 1 week. And along the way, of course, much more generous and wonderful things than that. I'm talking about the favor of the Lord this morning. The Bible says it is like dew. Now, I would say that the favor of the Lord is one of the least appreciated things in this life. Mankind tends to look at their favor, things that go their way, their health, their healthy grandchildren, a good job and a nice house and a way to pay the bills, and they tend to say, "Boy, I'm a lucky man." No, it's not luck. You may have worked hard along the way to get there, but the reason you've got it is the favor of God. And it works for lost people and saved people too. I'm not saying for a moment that there's any desirable end but to be saved, but I'm saying that most of your neighbors that are lost in your neighborhoods and your family that are lost, most of them, if they would and if they could see it, would be able to stand up and give a glorious testimony of the favor of God upon their lives. Sure, they may have had ill things happen, a bad divorce and a wretched bankruptcy or whatever else, but for the most part, most folks in America have experienced in great generosity the favor of the Lord, the favor of the King. The Bible says that favor is like dew on the grass. Now again, dew is something that is little regarded. Dew is something that is not very much appreciated. And my concern, concern in my life is that I tend to look over the effects of the dew. But the Bible says that, as far as I'm concerned, the favor of God is like the dew. And so I want to preach for a while about the dew on the grass this morning. You know, dew is often inconvenient. And by inconvenient, what I mean is, when the conditions are right on a summer morning, you get up in July or August, and if you're still half asleep as you go out and go across the yard for your paper, if you're not careful because you're half asleep, you'll wind up with your socks soaked completely through because you stepped out in the yard, and it's really, really wet with the dew, but you kind of underestimated it, and by the way, you know, it's inconvenient, so you go out and get your feet wet. And then you have to change your socks and wash the grass off of from between your toes in the bathtub. That can be inconvenient. If you leave your window down of your car, not only does the dew fall on the outside of the glass, but the dew also coalesces on the inside of the glass. And so when you get in the car in a rush to leave, well, now you've got to wipe off the inside of the glass. And when you wipe off the inside of the glass, it leaves streaks and stuff. And so it's just inconvenient. And furthermore, if the conditions are really right, you come tearing out of the house with your Pop-Tart and your coffee and your keys in your hand, and you start the car and you realize that you've got a pretty hefty amount of frost on the outside of your windshield, and now you have to get out and either pour your coffee on the windshield or else scrape it off. It's just a pain in the neck. Well, so in that way, dew is overlooked and do is not much appreciated. In fact, it can be kind of inconvenient. In some ways, I would point out to you that dew is a very important resource in arid regions. I mean, there are places in this world where it doesn't rain very much, but there's enough humidity for some dew to form and gives the grass or the cactus or whatever arid plants there might be there a little bit of life. There have been folks that have at various points and junctures in time been stranded somewhere without potable water, and they have managed to figure out a system by which to get enough dew off the grass to be able to survive for a few more hours and perhaps even to save their lives. So I just want to say that dew is what the king's favor is like, says the Bible. It says there that the king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion, but his favor is as dew on the grass. Now, I don't know how you perceive the favor and blessings of God. I know that I had preconceptions when I started this walk with the Lord myself. And I know that when I got saved, I don't know about you, I didn't hear any orchestral fanfare. To my knowledge, and at least in my hearing, the choirs of angels did not sing. I didn't get a parade or anything like that. I didn't hear anything. And for that matter, I didn't experience much. In my salvation, when I trusted Christ as my Savior, I was not overwhelmed by emotions. Now, if you were, I'm not denigrating that at all. I'm just saying that as for me, I'm not an unemotional person, but I'm not that, I don't eat that easily just break out into tears and get all emotional and wrought up. And I have to say that when I got saved, I didn't feel those things. I didn't, I guess, feel certain emotions that some people do. And yet I can stand and testify here this morning that I have certainly known in fullness the favor of the King. And so I have some things I would like for you to think about along this line. The dew is as the favor of the King. It's as, like dew on the grass. The grass is my flesh. In this life, after you are saved, you need to come to grips with what God's favor is like. And if you're not careful, you'll be misled to false expectations. We have a way of over-dramatizing things. There's a little charismatic in us all. And we all have a desire to see something happen that's magnanimous and powerful and showy and dramatic. And I have to tell you this, when it comes to walking by sight in my Christian life, I've not seen much of anything by sight. I've never spoken in tongues. As far as seeing a healing miracle of the same magnitude as the Bible, I've never seen that. I've never had somebody drop $1 million in my bank account. I'm still waiting for that one. But I'm just saying that I can stand here and testify of the favor of the Lord, but there's a lot that I haven't experienced. So, with the Bible saying that the King's favor is as dew upon the grass, then it would seem to me that the thing to study would be dew, not D-O, D-E-W, and by the way, not Mountain Dew either. I'm talking about doo-doo, D-E-W, D-E-W. I didn't mean to say that. Whatever. Do. But do. First of all, let me just say that dew is quiet. Now, we have, again, a little bit of charismatic in us all. And no matter what you say, there's a little part of you that would love and welcome to see God do something rather spectacular. And maybe you have seen fairly spectacular things happen at one time or another. I imagine that the spectacular, really showy things that you'll be limited to in your Christian life after you're saved are maybe a handful of things. Maybe the Lord will answer in a showy way a prayer for healing somewhere. We've prayed for and seen folks recover from cancer when they were all but promised death, right? So we've seen that. But I rather imagine that for the most part, the things that happen like that in most of our lives, because we walk by faith and not by sight, most of those things are going to be rather subdued, and you're not going to see a lot. So you need to become accustomed to what the favor of the Lord is like. It's like dew on the grass. And I want you to know that dew is quiet. Some mornings on a July or August morning in Minnesota, you can walk out the front door or the back door, lay down in the grass and roll through the grass a couple or three turns, and get up and be as wet as if you had you'd gotten in the shower. You'd be wet to the skin. Well, my point is that there was no lightning, and there was no thunderstorm, and there was no mighty blowing of the wind or anything like that. It's just a quiet, quiet and delicate thing that happened. You never heard a thing. You never saw a thing. Yet it's very real. You go out and walk across the yard and your feet are thoroughly wet. You have to go change your socks. Well, I just want to say that dew is quiet. And the Bible says that the Lord's favor is as dew on the grass. It's quiet. Again, I'll say that my salvation was quiet. I never felt this emotional, dramatic burden lifted that relieved me of all my problems. I didn't have a sense of some things that maybe even you have. My experience has very much been that the Lord's favor is as dew on the grass. It's very quiet. It's very subtle. And yet you can get very wet. But it's also very real. You know, God's favor is not like a cyclone. It's not like a rushing mighty wind. It's not like an earthquake. It's not anything like that. It's not a blowing of trumpets. It's not orchestral fanfare. It's not like that. It's not a grand, a glorious display. The fact of the matter is, it's like dew. It's quiet. It's kind of easy to be overlooked. And the more dangerous thing is easily taken for granted. I bet there are mornings that you get up, and if at midnight the thunder and the wind and the lightning had woken you up, you'd get up in the morning and go out and peer out the window and look and see what had blown over and what had happened last night. But the fact is, sometimes you can get up in the morning, and there'd be an awful lot of dew on the ground, and you never even take account for it. Just get in your car and leave for work, and fine, that's good. But just so you're aware that the favor of the Lord, the favor of the King, is as dew on the grass. And I just want to say that's how the Lord is dealing with us today. I just want to say that because the dew is so quiet, because it's so undramatic, because it's so subtle, it is also very easily taken for granted. It really, really is. It's very easily taken for granted. I like thunder. I like lightning. At our old house over on Magnolia, our house faced west and north a little bit. And so we had an opportunity most often to sit with the big, in the living room, the big plate glass window there in front, and we could watch the storms roll in. My big window is pointed the wrong direction in my current house to see many storms roll in. But, I always enjoyed watching those come. So when those come and you see that, it's really easy to overlook and even to be disappointed in the dew on the grass, because it's just not very dramatic. I wish the Lord's favor went more along the lines of Mordecai getting a chance to ride Haman's horse through the city with Haman leading him. what a turnaround, right? Yeah, I like that kind of victory. I like that kind of favor. Well, I like the kind of favor where Elijah stands and prays, and the rest of the Baalites have been dancing around all night like a bunch of ninnies, cutting themselves and everything else, and nothing happens. And then Elijah stands to pray, and man, fire falls from heaven. Well, I like that kind of favor. But the fact of the matter is, the way things usually work, is the Lord's favor is as dew on the grass. It's just not very thunderous. Those things are the exception. And where you have seen one or two occasions like that, I could name a small handful of occasions in my years as a Christian and my years in the ministry. More often than not, the way things have worked for me is I wake up one morning in the midst of my problems and burdens and look around, and after I get past my problems and burdens, I discover there's dew all over the place. And I just hadn't paid any attention to it. The Lord's favor is as dew on the grass. How is it that we always want the thunder? I guess it's part of our nature. That would be part of the sinful nature. I like the way Paul got saved. That's not the way I got saved. You know, Paul was blinded. Paul was knocked down off his horse, if he was riding a horse, on the road to Damascus. Well, I wasn't knocked down. How is it, though, that we have a predilection, kind of a preoccupation with things being dramatic and awesome and all those sort of things? I like the stories, and I've read stories of, you know, George Whitefield and what a great preacher the guy was, and how at times there were a couple of occasions folks testified to the fact that he would preach and preach and preach. His voice could be heard from a mile away. And sometimes on a couple of occasions he stood and in the midst of uplifting the Word of God, I mean, just preaching and preaching, and one, he stands suddenly with the Bible outstretched like this in his hand, and on a gray, cloudy day, a ray of sunlight falls down on the Bible and across this side of his body. And everybody goes, whoa. And I have to say, as a preacher, boy, it'd be fun to have that happen. Had to be a hole in the ceiling, but whatever. Read about John Wesley and how, you know, his enemies who hated him tremendously. One guy one time came up behind him with a double-barrel shotgun and pulled the trigger, and it misfired. And one time they released a bull, a mean bull, on him. And when the bull came up to him, he just turned and ran back into the crowd and after the guy that set the bull loose. Whoa. Well, I could use some victories like that. But those are the exceptions to the rule. The Bible says the Lord's favor, the King's favor, is as dew on the grass. I know this. Dew is quiet. Dew is subtle. I can say this further. The process is undiscerned. Dew condenses. Dew coalesces on the grass in the morning. And it's largely an undiscerned process. If it's been a 97 degree day here in Minnesota, and if the humidity has climbed up into the 60 and 70th percentile, then you know that there's going to be dew forming. If you're, I suppose, really observant, and you go out at a certain time at night, maybe sit down in your lawn chair outside on the deck or whatever, you can probably, if you're really discerning, you can probably sense the humidity in the air, the cooling temperature, and maybe if you're really discerning, you can even feel a little bit of that condensation as you're out there. But for the most part, it's an undiscerned process. It kind of defies the senses. Men want to see it and feel it and touch it, and all those sort of things. And that's really, honestly, if we're to believe the book of Proverbs, that's not usually how the favor of the king falls. The Bible says the favor of the king is as the dew on the grass. I wish that the Lord did more stuff on the parting of the Red Sea principle. I mean, I wish that He led us after the way of the pillar of fire and smoke in the wilderness. I wish there was more stuff like that. But the fact of the matter is, there's just a lot of stuff that's not like that. I'll tell you what, you hold a Bible in your hand this morning, and I believe it's perfect. I really do. I believe the words in it. I believe every word in it is perfect. And I believe it's just exactly how God intended us to have it. And so undiscerned is the process by which God started giving that book more than 2,000 years ago, more than 3,000 years ago, some of it's written, and how through these years it's come together. And when men start trying to put it together about exactly how it came together and exactly how it got to us in this form, it kind of defies their senses, it defies their capacity to be able to research it and find it out. You know why? Because we've been favored with the Bible. And I know there was a human process to it. I know there was a divine process to it. But largely, that process is undiscernible. It really is. A thousand times I've thought I knew what God was going to do, and He didn't do it that way. And a thousand times I've looked around at stuff in life, and I've been burdened and worried by this, that, or the other. Some things that are legitimate, some things that are not all that legitimate. And if I can say this, just 44 years of being a Christian, and going on 28 years now of being in the ministry, I can say that one of the themes of my life is that I've managed somehow to get from point A to point B spiritually, thinking about problems and being distracted by distresses and issues in life and with my mind off on those things. And somehow, like I said earlier, I managed one day to wake up in the morning and look around and I see all the dew that has coalesced on the grass around me. And the Bible says that, well, that's what the Lord's favor is. Like, it's really easy to get so preoccupied with the things that you can see and the troubles that you do have and the obstacles and trials and get to the point that you forget to look around at the dew that's formed. Really? You're healthy, most of you, right? You have kids? Your kids are saved? They're healthy. I have four kids. Three of them are married. They're all healthy. They're all saved. And they're all in church. They're all in church here. I got grandkids. So when I have this problem that's been bugging me for all these months, it's just easy. You know, when I get discouraged and down and despondent about something, preoccupied with something else, to miss the fact that if I pause and look around, the dew is all around me. Here you are. You're my friends, most of you. You're my friends. You like me. Most all of you would do anything that you could for me, and maybe do all that you could for me if I needed you. Well, that's a vast treasure. None of us knew each other 40 years ago. None of us would even be friends if we were still like we were back then, probably. Right? I wouldn't be in Minnesota, I don't think. My point is, you got to be careful to make sure that you know what the Lord's favor is. You may be looking for some miraculous resolution, some fantastical, complete with orchestral fanfare and parade of a solution in your life over some big thing. Meanwhile, what's forming all around you is dew on the grass. The Bible says the Lord's favor is like dew on the grass. To me, salvation's like that too. Like I said, it wasn't a particularly emotional thing for me. In fact, as a boy, I struggled, as a young man, I struggled with whether I truly got saved when I was 10 years old. Then I started looking through the Bible and I figured out, you know what? I have all the signs of somebody that's been saved. I believe the right things. I've been under the favor of God all this time. Meanwhile, I was busy looking for all these outward signs and outward manifestations. And that's not always the way it shows up. Dew is quiet. Dew is undiscerned, largely. I'd like to say that dew is refreshing. Dew is refreshing. We bought our house out in Oak Grove in 2003 and still enjoy the house and stuff. As far as our grass is concerned, our house is built in a sandbox. I mean, you talk about there's not any black dirt anywhere around. It's all just sand. And I mean, you know, it rains in the sand. We don't get our basement flooded because it just goes poof all the way through. It's just sand. And so my grass has no black dirt under it. And so by midsummer always, if the summer's hot at all, my grass is just shot. It's a funny thing, you know, in the early spring my grass is really, really green. And We don't even bother to water it too much anymore. We used to like the green grass, but now we know it's going to die anyway. But that grass turns, when it starts getting hot and the sun's beating on it for a couple days, turns into that kind of bluish green dry color, you know. And I'll think, oh, it's gone now. Get up the next morning, it's been humid today and hot today, and go back out there in the morning, there's dew all over it, and that grass is just as green as can be. Now, it'll eventually wear it down and all. But my point, folks, is that dew is refreshing. Now, I'll tell you what you need now as you go day by day deeper into the perilous times. You need refreshment. The Bible likens you to two things. And the first thing it likens you to is a great tree. Okay, now, that tree is planted by rivers of water. That river of water is the Word of God, right? So in that regard, you're like a tree. On the other hand, it says your flesh is as grass. And that grass gets burnt and so on and so forth. And if you're not careful, you can be saved and be tapped into the Word of God and have all those promises and still dry up. And the reason you can dry up is because you are not refreshed by the favor of God. You are busy looking at problems, you're busy looking at troubles, and you have a hard time seeing the favor of God, because that's not what you're looking for. You're not looking for dew. You're looking for thunderstorms. You're looking for 3 inches at a time. And sometimes that's not how the Lord does stuff. In fact, if the Bible's true, what it says as a rule is the king's favor is like dew on the grass. It's not a mighty rushing wind that pushes the front before it and dumps a bunch of rain on. I want to say further that dew is predictable. Now, I'm not trying to make God into a mechanized unit or a candy dispenser or anything like that where you get put your money in and get out what you want. But you can predict largely what the dew fall will be tonight if it's the right season. Again, if it's hot and if it's humid, you know that when the temperature falls beneath a certain level that night, that there's going to be dew on your windshield and on the grass and stuff. It's largely predictable. And again, I am not making God into some mechanized thing, but I do want to say that God is principled. He does things according to precepts. And at a certain level and within certain bounds, we can predict how the favor will fall. Now, folks, I am assured of this in the Word of God. If I will wait upon the Lord, if I will be patient with the Lord, and if I will, as a servant, wait upon Him, as in a waiter, He will renew my strength. And I will mount up on wings as an eagle. I will walk and not be weary, and I'll run and not faint. That's what the promise is. Now, maybe at the end of the day, after I've waited all day or all week, maybe I don't feel strong. Maybe I don't feel the mighty muscles building so that now I'm strong. Maybe it's not like that. But I am assured by the Word of God that if I will wait, He will renew. That's why you're not justified in giving up. That's why you're not justified in laying down. Because if you will wait, He will renew. I am assured that where I lack wisdom, if I will ask of God, He'll give it to me. Now, I may be in prayer and a book's not going to necessarily fall off the shelf, hit me in the head, and open up to the right page where the answer's at. But I am assured that if I'm seeking an answer and lack wisdom and need wisdom, that if I'll pray and believe, that the Lord will go about getting me the wisdom that I need. Whether it's the way I expect it or not, whether it shows up in my life in the way that I wanted it to, that's another issue. But the Bible says that dew can be an awfully quiet, awfully subtle thing. And I don't know about your experience, but usually God's blessings don't come to me the way that I anticipated them. Sometimes it's a matter of magnitude. Sometimes it's a matter of timing. Sometimes it's a matter of how I thought he should do it. And the Lord just has this way of always disappointing me in my expectations. Got to be careful with that. Here I am seeking God's favor. Here I am seeking God's favor on your lives, my life, the church, missionaries, and the whole thing. The Bible says that the Lord's favor is as dew on the grass. It's a very subtle thing. It doesn't always come the way you expect it. I was telling, I've always heard these stories. Here we are trying to pay off a mortgage, right? Always heard these stories about pastors. In fact, I know several of them where, you know, you have people on a fairly regular basis dumping money on them. $250,000 here, $500,000 there. I've never had a dump like that. I want a dump like that. I would like to pay the mortgage off in one fell swoop. But, you know, if that doesn't happen, 6 years from now or less, God willing, our mortgage is paid off. We'll have shown the Lord's favor, and it will have arrived as dew on the grass and not in some fell swoop. I just want to say, dew is predictable. If I sow, I will reap. The Bible says so. Now, I may not reap when I want, how much I want at one time, and when I want. But if I sow, I will reap. Right? If I lack faith, well, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If I lack faith, I don't need you to come pat me on the hand. I need the Bible. Right? And as I read the Bible, maybe the strength and the faith doesn't come to me the way that I anticipated. But faith cometh by hearing. And there's a ton of things like this. I mean, if I am worried about my battle with the devil, the Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee. Well, I was just overcome with temptation. Oh, I could feel the devil right there. Well, resist him. And if you will resist him, the Bible says that he will flee. Now, maybe he doesn't either appear or disappear in a puff of smoke. And you go, oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, maybe you don't get to rejoice that way. But you wake up the next morning and you resisted the temptation, and he's not back. Folks, the Bible says the king's favor is as dew on the grass, and within bounds, it is predictable. If you will follow the Bible, the Lord will follow through on His promises. I have said that dew is quiet. It's refreshing. I have said that its process is undiscerned. I've said it's predictable. I can say this about it. You know the grass, that's your flesh. The grass has to be of a lower temperature than the ambient air around it. Dew condenses on cooler surfaces. Right? Your window glass cools quicker than the rest of the objects. And so that's why there's dew that forms on your windshield. And maybe not even somewhere else. Well, that teaches me a lesson. That means if I, the grass, my flesh, if I need dew, if I need refreshment, if I need God's favor, and there's something that I need to be. I need to be cool. I need to be cooler than the ambient temperature. I have to be cool. And I don't mean, you know, cool. I mean, I'm supposed to be cool to the fads and fashions in this world. When it comes to certain things, when it comes to what the world is always, seems like always, somebody's always pulling your string to alarm you or frighten you. When it comes to those things, I'm supposed to be cooler. Right? When it comes to getting all up in arms about this thing or that, when it comes to responding the way the rest of the cows in the field respond, when somebody presents some new gadget or gadget and everybody goes and lines up outside of Best Buy for 3 days to get one? Really? I'm going to waste 3 days to stand in line to get one? Really? You're not cool to this world. When the world pulls your string, is always trying to panic you and make you afraid and make you want and make you hunger and make you want one of those. I'm called to be cool. If I want the favor of God to condense in my life, then I need to be cool. Because if I will remain cool to those things in this life, then one day I wake up and the dew is on the grass. But I have to be cooler. Sometimes you find that, in my case, I mean, I don't have a bunch of money in the bank. But, you know, I've lived on a pastor's salary for all these years. I've continued to tithe and I've continued to serve and give and spend what money it takes to get here with gas money and all that kind of stuff. And it's kind of funny because I know a lot of folks that have gone after the world tooth and claw, and they have less than I have. I mean, of all the times that at the end of the month, I have a bunch of month at the end of my money. All the times that that's happened, all the times that I've had to go and scratch something out of savings to bolster the bank account so that I can pay the final bills this month. And that's, I don't know how many times it's happened. It's been, Marcy, we're in the red! You know, and yet in spite of all those times and all these, you know, I have, in many cases, more than a lot of folks who have lusted after it and stomped on people's hands to get it and gone for it tooth and claw. And it came to me as the favor of God, as dew on the grass, subtle, quiet, and I didn't have to stand on somebody's foot to get it. It's just kind of cool the way this works. Amen? I want to say that as far as the dew is concerned, you have to be still for it to form. When the wind is up, dew does not form. If there's a heavy breeze on a summer evening in August, if the breeze stays up all night, then the dew does not form on the grass. Right? The Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. I'll be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. In order for the favor of God to form as dew, you have to be still. Still in the sense of calm. Still in the sense of stable. Still in the sense of being consistent. Still in the sense of being faithful and plugging away and not running around like a jackrabbit, panicked one moment and, you know, tired beyond all measure the next, so that you're just running around getting nothing done. Scared to death one minute, unstable and unsure about your faith the next. You need to be still for the dew to form. Sometimes folks don't stay in one place long enough for the dew to form. You need to be still. Men, I want to say there's just a couple things left and I'll be done, all right? I want you to know that dew is seasonal. We don't see much dew this time of year in Minnesota. It has to generally, you know, be warm days, warm, wet, humid days, and then at night the dew forms. So it doesn't often form in the winter. It doesn't, like I said, form when the wind is up. The favor of God coalesces in seasons. It's cyclical. You know, a pastor for nearly 28 years here. And our church goes through cycles. Cycles of gains and cycles of losses. And Christians go through their own cycles. It goes good for a while, moderate for a while, and then it seems to down spiral for a while sometimes. And then if you just hang in there, it goes in cycles. I'm telling you. The favor of God oftentimes is seasonal. Now, not the promises in the sense of your salvation, the things that are true every day. But there's an awful lot of the outward favor that is seasonal. And there will be times that you feel strong, but there will be times that you feel weak. There will be times that you are encouraged, but there's going to be times that you are discouraged too. And your lifeline is still the Bible. Those promises are still true. But sometimes the dew doesn't form the night that you want it to, because the conditions aren't right, because the Lord is doing something else. Is that fair? Last thing I'd like to say about this matter of the king's favor is as dew on the grass is that when the dew forms on the grass and you go out in the morning and there it is on the grass, well, it's not only on your grass, it's on all your neighbor's grass. And within reason, it's on all your neighbor's grass. So there are conceivably acres and acres of grass on which there's dew. Well, I don't know how much, I wasn't able to figure out, and didn't even try to be honest with you, how much of a volume of water must, for instance, be on the grass if all the grass on, say, a half-acre lot has dew on it. But I can tell you this, if you were able to get it together and put it all in a pot, it'd be a pretty good-sized volume. When you start considering acre after acre after acre, all with the equal amount of dew on it, there's actually a lot of water on it. I can tell you what the dew tells you. The dew is sure proof of much vaster favor that awaits you. You're saved. You are in the favor of God, and eye hath not seen, neither hath ear heard, neither has entered into the hearts of the sons of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. And if there's dew on your grass, I can promise you that it is hardly even the most minuscule fraction of what is available and what you will experience someday. Now, the key to all this, folks, is salvation. It's getting saved. I do believe that lost folks enjoy the favor of God. They don't enjoy salvation, but they enjoy favor. They enjoy health and healthy grandkids and sometimes more money than they need or can spend, sometimes more food than they can eat, and all that's fine. But I can tell you this, the day of their favor ends one day. I just want to say that salvation is the key. You need to get saved to be in the continual favor of the King. And after you're saved, there's going to be long periods where all you see is dew, and dew, you get tired of dew because it's just not much water. It's quiet. It's often undiscerned and unappreciated and those sort of things. But if you're conscious of it, if you apprehend it, it can be one of the most refreshing things you've ever seen. Day after day after day, I enjoy the blessing and favor of God. I have never seen a miracle after the apostolic sort. I have never seen somebody raised from the dead. I have never seen a leg grow back. Okay? But day after day, I experience the favor of God. But it takes an eye of faith to see it. And you need to remember what the favor of God is like. It's like dew on the grass. And if you're not careful, you won't appreciate it. If you're not careful, you'll walk right past it. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we love you. Want to stand and thank you for the favor that you've shown us. Me as a man, us as a family, these people as a congregation and as friends, thank you for letting us see the things that you've allowed us to see. Father, we have every expectation that all that God has ever said is true, and that all that you said we would ever see, we shall indeed see and experience. We also know that how you work today is by faith and not by sight. And from this, just this morning, we say, see that the King's favor is as dew on the grass. It's how you operate many times in this life. And Father, that's been my experience with you. I pray you'll encourage somebody's heart here who is a little despondent and discouraged because of
how they viewed that things should fall or have not fallen. I pray, Father, you'd minister to them and help them. Oh, Lord, help us all from falling into the trap of expecting you to do things after after the way that we would engineer it to be, on our timetable and according to our calendar, according to our magnitude of how we perceive those blessings. Father, please help us. We love you. We need you. You've been good to us. Really, really good to us. And I pray that you'd help us to appreciate it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn, if we could, to number 224. How you have perceived the favor of God. You read the Bible in parts, and sometimes you read books, biographies, autobiographies, and histories. And men, because they have a predilection, a predisposition for some dramatic things, maybe they present it as factual, but sometimes it's presented in an over-idealistic fashion. Maybe you've operated under those. Maybe you've been disappointed a little bit in your God, because what he's delivered to you have been gradual, quiet, subtle blessings instead of rolling waves and shifting tides and wind and thunder and orchestral fanfare. I want you to know that your experience with some of those subtle, quiet blessings is the rule, not the exception. The exception is the mighty wind, the thing that comes swooping down, the fire from heaven, the immediate deliverance. Those things are the exceptions. The dew, as dew on the grass, that's the rule. Have you been disappointed in the favor of God? Have you been disappointed in the favor he's shown you? The good things that aren't noticed because they sometimes fall in the shadow of problems and trials and catastrophes. Don't forget to look for the dew. Let's sing one last stanza, number three. Number three.
Thank you.
look forward to kind of giving David and Cassie a send-off and then having another week to enjoy their fellowship. We'll have a meal tonight after church, and we will meet at 5:30 for prayer meeting like normal. So pretty much regular stuff until the eats arrive. So we'll do that. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Lord, I thank you so much for each and every person that's come this morning to hear your word. I pray, Father, they've been helped and edified. I pray, Lord, you'll help us to consider these things through the right kind of vision, Lord. Sometimes we get our vision askew because of expectations that are false. We love you. We need you. We apprehend this morning in Sunday school just how it is and in what way the Lord Jesus Christ has paid the price for us. May these things be real, Father, and we look forward to enjoying our fellowship tonight, preaching again, and some food and fellowship with the brethren. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Good morning.